Market moving insight and analysis. Join Jim Cramer, David Faber, and me, Carl Quintanilla, on the opening bell hour of CNBC Squawk on the Street. Good Tuesday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer and David Faber at the New York Stock Exchange. Futures are steady as China says it's reached consensus with the U.S. on some relevant phase one issues. Retail earnings, of course, Best Buy, Dick's, Dollar Tree, PVH are mixed, but some increases in guidance. Europe's largely unchanged. 10-year 173, Case-Shiller home prices up 3.2 in September year-on-year. Our roadmap begins with the record rally for stocks rolling on. Renewed China trade optimism set to fuel further gains at the open.
Retail's big week and the tariff impact into the holidays. Best Buy, Dick's, Dollar Tree, Abercrombie, among the retailers that are reporting quarterly results today.
And Ford challenging Tesla to a, quote, apples-to-apples tug-of-war between pickups. And Elon Musk says, bring it on. Stocks are looking to set more milestones a day after the three major indices saw record closes. You got your top trade negotiators from the U.S. and China holding a phone call earlier this morning as the two sides continue to work toward a phase one trade agreement. Trade Rep Lighthizer, Treasury Secretary Mnuchin both participated in that call. And then MOFCOM says both sides agreed to remain in contact over remaining issues. Jim, on Twitter, you said the phone call last night was very important in terms of furthering a deal.
Yeah, it's real. You know, I've been skeptical. This was a real call. Phase one probably happens. Financial services get opened up. President may believe that intellectual property is for real. Instead of just a soybean buy, they promised that they would respect intellectual property. Now, do I feel they respect it? That's completely irrelevant. This was a major breakthrough. The financial services could win. Even the casino stocks, believe it or not, the people there involved in casinos were integral. This is a very, very major change, certainly major change for me. Lighthizer went with the Mnuchin side, not with the hardliners. And people were buying the stocks on the idea that at least tariffs will be stayed or some phase one agreement are probably going to be right. There was a major breakthrough last night. I was quite surprised. I didn't think that Lighthizer would basically throw his lot in with Mnuchin, who's the softliner. The Mnuchin camp is, just so we know, it's the Schwarzman camp, is the Paulson, Thornton, this very, very influential group. And I think if you buy the financials off of this, the majors, I think you're going to make money.
What about Trump? Where is he on this?
I think he's with the Lighthizer in this big change. Kind of just decided that this is what's going to happen. Believe that the waiting for somebody to blink, the Chinese blinked on intellectual property. Now, again, we could say that's crazy. But the president's a buyer, is my understanding, at least right now. Obviously, the president can be mercurial. He wouldn't say mercurial. That's how he negotiates. He told me that's how he negotiates. But that's when we were an apprentice, which was kind of a dry run. But, this was a big deal last night. And I was surprised. I didn't think Lighthizer was just going to go with them. The financials have been right. This is a J.P. Morgan move. Maybe Goldman. Goldman's probably a buyer. I don't know if my trust has been lousy, terrible stock, but this is big.
Interesting. Yield curves flattened for 9 straight days. So do you think all markets are on board with this narrative?
Yeah. Well, no. I mean, this is a big change. I mean, this is as of last night. So the markets may have perceived it, but this was jump ball till last night. It's jump ball. And this was a very important phone call. The Chinese are controlling the narrative. That's surprising that they're doing that. They're pushing and pushing and pushing. Telling you something's going to happen. Giving in on IP is something that I think I was hoping that they would give in, maybe talking about not state enterprises being cut back, actually doubling down on state enterprises, not doing anything about fentanyl. But the president wants a win after the impeachment. He'll declare a win. And this is very big. The rally makes sense. If you see something going on right now, if you see an agreement, it's going to be phase one, and it's going to happen. And I really do believe it's going to happen unless there's some last-minute betrayal.
So December 15th gets...
Could be on hold.
Delayed. Not canceled, but delayed.
Delayed.
And then the prior rounds, December 1 and so forth, get rolled back?
Not clear. But I do think that you're going to see... Let's take American Express. They've been waiting to be able to get in. They've got an application in. I think the application will be granted. I do believe that there's a better feeling. I mean, Lighthizer, remember, this was a call. Who's on the call? Was anyone from the Navarro wing on the call? No. Has Lighthizer sided with the Mnuchin wing? I think that there's tremendous momentum being created by the Chinese. I think the president can easily declare victory.
You've been talking about how important ag was to all of this. Is that changed?
No, he's more focused right now on intellectual property, believing that that's the olive branch. The intellectual property this weekend was a surprise to the administration. The intellectual property is considered to be one of the seven deadly sins that they've got, along with fentanyl, along with state-sponsored, along with hacking. Nothing on hacking, nothing on state-sponsored, nothing on dumping, nothing on currency manipulation. But I think the president can't, but certainly Secretary Mnuchin, very happy that they've given in. And that's a win, and he's taking it. What you're hearing from the Chinese is true, and that is a big change. Actually, quite surprising.
All right. So then what happens to the market?
I don't want to bet against this market. Jeez. I mean, I think so a lot
You don't think it's a sell-on news? You don't think this one has been anticipating what you're saying?
Well, no, because as of last night, there really wasn't clarity. I think the financial services stocks have been robust because of this versus the yield curve. But there is a definite movement in the trade talks. And it would be the president at the last minute saying, I don't trust their intellectual property. But right now, there seems to be a belief that when they gave in on IP, and by giving in on IP, the president's got to win and he can drive something. This is as of, again, this phone call was incredibly important. I know that sounds like, that's just one more that's going to work. But you know my feeling. I had felt that this was very dim, that we should not get ahead of ourselves. I've been right about this stuff. People on Twitter say I've been wrong the whole way. Well, hey, listen, they love me now because my wife liked the Tesla. But there is a big movement last night. And the IP, I did not think IP would be enough. I thought that they would have to give in more. I thought they would have to place a big soybean order. No. But the momentum is here for the talks. There's momentum, and Lighthizer on that call, very, very big deal. He had not declared his lot, which way he was going. I think he declared last night. Big deal. Very big deal. Big change.
You've made that clear.
Well, I had to because I've been the opposite.
You have.
I've been saying there's no hope, no hope, no hope.
You have.
And now there's suddenly hope. The Chinese have really, did they bamboozle us? Who the hell cares? What you care about at home is, I know, what will be a deal.
So now we'll wait to see when we get a date for potential signing of a phase one.
Yeah, we will.
December 15th will be the next important day, conceivably, when we will not see the new tariffs on 156.
That's my understanding. Yes, stay of execution, just like for those turkeys.
And so maybe Dollar Tree and Family Dollar and all of them can rest easy, right?
Well, that was
Dollar Tree's out today.
Gary Philbin would tell you, yeah, the next level of tariffs. Now you're starting to see the real impact. By the way, Manny Chirico said, listen, we haven't seen the impact yet of the tariffs. It's about to happen because people bought stuff forward. I think that the Amazons and the Walmarts have already, and Target, have pretty much dealt with it. But some of these other guys know. The Dollar Tree was disappointing. It was tariffs. By the way, it was also labor costs, distribution center. You see the Amazons arguing to try to get as many people as possible. There's a big fight over trying to get people to be at the D.C., at distribution centers. But they do need to stay at tariffs because they were hurt. Although, remember, when they buy a family, when they convert to Family Dollars, they're still doing better. But they had a lot of low-margin stuff. Snacks, when I went to the most recent one in Asbury Parks, there's too much snack. When there's too much frozen food, the margins are bad versus other seasonal products. And don't forget helium. The shortage of helium costs them a little bit. There's a helium shortage.
I wasn't aware of that.
You didn't know that?
No.
That's bad news for kids' parties.
Oh, geez, I tell you, for all the holidays, I always go to Dollar Tree for my balloons. It's stressful.
What's the helium problem?
There's not a lot of helium.
Is it lack of find? Transporting it?
Do I look like a helium merchant?
Well, you tend to know
do I look like a balloon?
About a lot of things.
Well, I'm 7 miles wide and a centimeter deep.
Yeah, so I figured maybe
you're supposed to say no, that's not true. But Dollar Tree's, there's so much stuff wrong, and I go over Dollar Tree what's wrong, and I come back and I say, geez, give Gary Philbin a chance. He's done a lot of good stuff. But there are issues. Frozen food ripping, but lowest margin category, not good. Family Dollar still doing better. You have to pay through the nose to get people to work at a distribution center. That's true. That's not a job people really like, but they can make a lot of money in a distribution center.
Well, a lot depends on who you're talking to. But you can make a living wage almost.
But at the beginning, these people can't generate. They have to be taught. You make a living wage. Yeah, well, you were the one. David did pioneer work on Amazon in the distribution center.
Yeah.
Remember, you invoked the 13th Amendment, right? Was it the 13th Amendment, the one that Lincoln jammed through? Was he, or was that done after Lincoln? I'm trying to remember the sequence there. It was like done after the Civil War.
Amazon wasn't around during Lincoln. No.
No?
No. No.
It wasn't?
Now they're paying everybody, $15 an hour and benefits. Amazon actually has a nationwide ad campaign.
How much do you think a dishwasher costs in
the NFL?
How much do you think costs a dishwasher in New York? Per hour?
18.
What'd you do? Read my memo?
I think you told me.
You can't get people to, less than 18, forget it. Huh. How many gym memberships do you have to provide to people who work at restaurants? They come in and say, oh, listen, I want to run, but I need a gym member. I need Equinox. What's the matter with the Y?
That's a thing?
Yeah, they seem to ask for Equinox. That's their favorite.
You have to give them a gym membership?
Yeah, $90,000 and a gym membership. I've turned these people down. Not for me.
Wow.
Dick's, the guide is pretty nice here, Jim, and it includes all the tariffs that are/were slated to go into effect.
Now, here's one. What was the hot item? Women's apparel. Now, my charitable trust owns Kohl's, so hold your ears, Jim. What was the weakest part of Kohl's? Women's apparel. So what do you make of that? If women's apparel is bad at Kohl's but great at Dick's, what's your conclusion? What's your conclusion?
What's my conclusion? Women are shopping at Dick's.
That's right, my friend. He nails it. Soccer, replacing football, incredibly strong. Footwear, amazing. Dick's is back. It's bigger than ever. And they have kept with value. They have covered. Ed Stack, amazing job. I wait to hear what, you remember they pulled guns? Wait to hear how
they
that did.
They pulled guns. They suffered very briefly. And then since then, it's really, they've had a lot of good quarters.
Not unlike CVS when they pulled tobacco. Remember CVS?
I
they took the $2 billion hit?
I do. Walgreens has not, right?
Still not yet. Has Walgreens got vaping?
And look at the difference in the stock prices. It has absolutely probably nothing to do with it, but it's worth pointing out.
Well, I think it's important that Starboard voted position, which is unimportant.
Totally.
But the media presents it as being... Like, what do you got there?
I'm checking.
Okay.
Some text reporting.
Dick's was remarkable.
I don't advise doing this at home, but sometimes you have to.
Dick's truly has cleared very little light inventory. That is such a buy even up here because Dick's sells an incredibly low multiple, and it's got a great dividend, and it's beaten the tariffs, and they're not worried about the tariffs, and they've got the right merchandise, not unlike Target. They're in the Target camp, not the Kohl's camp.
Makes sense.
PVH. About $100 million worth of stock. Sorry, Carl. As well during the quarter.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
PVH, you got strength in Europe. Yeah, you got Tommy up 10. Low tax rate, some pointed out.
Right, I know. They're trying to keep it down. Manage Rico won last night. Tommy, by the way, is plus 12 constant currency. Europe is incredibly strong. Now, car registration strong in Europe. Now, Tommy's strong. Calvin Klein restructuring worked. Department store problems, not going away. But there was a monster good quarter. Manny Rico bought a gigantic amount of stock in the 70s. Sometimes it pays to follow a CEO who buys a lot of stock and can't flip it, of course. Remarkable quarter from what people thought. Tariffs, yes. Problems, China, yes. He's cut China exports by 50%. He's been moving what the president wants. He's been moving away China. But China's still a bright spot, but not as great because of Hong Kong. The only thing that's good in Hong Kong is the Alibaba deal, which you correctly flagged.
Yes, and it was up 7% in its debut.
Yeah.
It was a large deal and an important deal for Alibaba.
J.P. Morgan there.
Yeah.
J.P. Morgan could be the winner in China. Remember that.
American underwriters.
Do not Goldman. How about maybe Las Vegas Sands could be a winner?
As a result of what you're talking about with
phase
trade
one.
Talks, yes.
Yeah, this is a big win in phase. You know, people who believe in the trade talk, I think you're going to win. Unless the president, watching the show right now, decides to make me look bad.
Did we get to Best Buy, guys, or did we?
How selfish is that? Like, you can give a damn about us.
Did we not hit Best Buy?
No, but it's important to hit it because it was just a fantastic quarter.
It was a good quarter.
Discretionary
and
spend.
They did slightly increase their guidance as well, right?
So I think it's terrific.
1-2%.
Have not.
From 0.7 to 1.
Macy's.
7.
That's for sure.
The weather was horrible at Macy's. Miserable Kohl's. Sunny everywhere else. Pretty amazing. It's almost like remember I told you, Al Roker's the keyman.
I mean, retailers have different geographic distributions, Jim. It's true.
Some retailers are smarter than others. Macy's has got to get it together. Got to get it together fast. They do not. It's by the way. Here's what's going on at Macy's: hard to find service, registers all over the place, not staffed. Versus Target front registers. Now we have to go, but I got to tell you, Target has the mojo. Macy's lacks mojo per share.
I think people get that. That's
mojo
for sure.
Per share.
Yeah, that's an important metric we follow closely here.
MPS. When we come back, we'll get Cramer's Matt Dash countdown to the opening bell. Take another look here at the pre-market. We will get to some of the guidance in tech, which is not as good as some of these retailers.
Enterprise is bad.
And who's taking Chipotle to 970 when we come back?
All right, welcome back. Happy to have you here on a Tuesday at the New York Stock Exchange. It's a shortened week. I'll be working Friday. You won't.
You had to point that out?
No. Yeah, well, you know, every so often you need to do
that. Well, I'm a year older than you. You fix that.
A year?
Yeah, you have to take cleaners and get that fixed.
What are we measuring years? 7 years? Dog years?
Yeah, dog years.
Dog years.
Yeah.
All right, we got a mad dash, though. Let's get to it. We got some earnings you want to hit, Nutanix and HPE.
HPE, which is the enterprise. Well, you know what they say? David, they say corporate data center spending down. They're worried. Global tensions. Nutanix, what do they say? Corporate spending on global on cloud computing up strong. David, this is Kohl's versus Target. I mean, what we got? This is Kohl's. Kohl's being the benchmark. By the way, you take that Kohl's cash, David. That's Confederate. Boom. Okay, you know what I mean?
I do.
Yeah. Okay. So Nutanix is the winner here. Nutanix has been down for a while. They do have some good iterations. I like what they're doing. They're making a comeback.
Is
Nutanix
there a way
versus
to
VMware.
Square that circle, so to speak.
One company's awful.
That's not true.
All right, that's unfair.
That
one company's
unfair.
Not doing as well. Legacy. There's issues at HPE.
Yeah.
When you say some companies, I don't mean that they're awful. Just that they do have some products that are selling well. Okay. But the fact is that enterprise is soft. Now, HPE is somewhat akin to Cisco. They sell into the enterprise market. Enterprise spending is global tensions. Yep. It is just down. Yep. Nutanix is a comeback because of its own product line. So let's not be too hard on HPE. It's kind of like Cisco. Yeah, absolutely. If you sell only in the enterprise is shaky because of trade tensions.
Right.
Matters.
Does.
Yeah, it really does matter.
And HPE, of course, has had a hard time finding revenue growth for a long time.
I know. Now, HPE, the computer company, Enrique, reports tonight.
Yeah, we'll see that.
And then you're going to be all over Xerox.
Xerox sent another letter. We're going to share that with
another
people.
Letter?
Yeah,
they sell
letter.
A lot of letters.
Sell a lot of letters.
That's pretty good.
Send a lot of letters.
Letters per share.
There have been a lot going on.
David, the helium, by the way,
printers,
I'm working on helium.
Xerox copiers have been very busy sending letters.
Okay. Xerox. Party City being hurt by the helium shortage. Helium crossfire between Saudi Arabia and Qatar. And it's very complicated why there's a lack of helium.
Thank you. Thank you. By the way, UPS is also gearing up for a busy holiday season. You're going to want to hear what CEO David Abney has to say about that. He'll be with us later on Squawk Alley. Got a lot more squawk on the street, right? Coming your way.
A decent mix of retail earnings plus some constructive trade discussions between the U.S. and China have futures hanging in there. We'll get the opening bell in about 6 minutes. You're watching CNBC Squawk on the Street, live from the financial capital of the world. The opening bell in about 3 minutes. We covered some China trade news so far, covered some retail earnings. David and Jim did HPE at the board, and Palo Alto Networks also raising a few eyebrows today.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is one where a lot of companies have been built by acquisition. And when you get acquisition after acquisition, you can get revenue growth. But you could see a stalling in the actual underlying organic growth. I have to be careful here because Palo Alto has been a great stock of late. And Nikesh Arora was here, and the stock is up substantially from when he was here, even after this decline. But people didn't like the fact that that he talked about some sales execution issues. I don't want to say that the cybersecurity business has gotten too competitive, but there are companies, whether it be a CrowdStrike, Zscaler was upgraded the other day. CyberArk had good numbers. Fortinet had good numbers. But people feel Palo Alto has moved up too much given the fact that the forecast was tepid. Nikesh is a great man who's done a lot of great things. But remember, he's not from the enterprise. And he's discovering the enterprise. And at the beginning of his conference, he talks about how hard the enterprise is. The enterprise is selling to big business. It takes a very different skill set. from selling to consumer. And the forecast was just downright disappointing. Remember, cybersecurity is a kind of secular growth.
We've been talking about how it's the hole in the overall enterprise donut. Absolutely. Just incredibly strong. Does when you see HP and you see Palo Alto, does your mind go back to Chuck Robbins?
I mean, completely.
Everything sort of stems from his original.
This is completely. I mean, Chuck Robbins.
Cisco CEO.
Yeah, Chuck Robbins has been adamant that there are the global tensions have made it so, and this is the really important thing. You need many more signatures on a deal. So instead of just someone just saying, check it off, it has to go up and down the organization. And when you take a lot longer and the sales cycle is elongated, then you get what you have here. I believe that that's also a problem with Palo Alto. Now, they had to move from firewall to cloud. That's a very hard thing. A Zscaler and a CrowdStrike, basically all cloud. Cloud being the great growth. But enterprise is weak. Consumer is strong. And so when you're dealing with enterprise tech, it's almost exclusively not great. But remember, Amazon's not enterprise. Apple's not enterprise. Facebook's not enterprise. Alphabet, some enterprise, which is their new Google cloud service.
Yeah, Microsoft's pretty strong. Enterprise, though, and they're doing great.
Well, but they also, it's Azure. Right. It's Thomas Kurian, by the way, at Google Cloud Services. Watch him. Formerly known as Darth Vader, now called LeBron James. He's stealing every top guy, paying top dollar. Okay, you know you get a $600,000 bonus if you're a salesperson, you go to another firm out there. People in sales, listen to me. Move west, young man and women. You can make a fortune.
You got to buy a house.
You can sell. No, that is the issue. I forgot that.
There's the opening bell. And the S&P 500 at the big board this morning. It's Kaleyra, provider of mobile messaging services, celebrating a listing today at the NASDAQ. Kalamos Investments doing the honors. We are going to keep our eye on Chipotle as Cowen goes from 800 to 970.
Jim. Boy, does that ever make sense? The new dish is working. All the technology really working. The delivery really working. That last quarter was much better than people thought. I think that Cowen is spot on. That stock's going higher.
I guess they call these things Chipotle lanes, drive-through that's
so
tailored
good.
To digital.
And you got to listen to what Brian said in the last quarter, because what he's talking about is a technology revolution. He's brought this. Remember, this Brian Nickel who came from Taco Bell.
Yes, he did.
And he is all about throughput. If you get good throughput and good food, there's no stopping you. I don't know if you guys have all had the new
carne asada.
Delicious.
Yeah, very good. Really good.
This is not Beyond Meat, Dave.
It's real meat.
The millennials love Beyond Meat so much. They'll buy that stock at Robinhood, hand over fist. Do you know that Robinhood has almost the same number or maybe the same number of accounts as E-Trade, and it's valued at 7.6, and E-Trade's valued just a little bit more?
We've really spent a lot of time talking about Robinhood these last
few days. Well, because
Robinhood, obviously in light of the Schwab Ameritrade deal.
But also because when I'm out there, millennials are they love stocks. They love
Do
ETFs.
Millennials like Beyond Meat at $230 a share, or they just like it now?
77's better.
David, it's ethos.
Ethos.
It has nothing to do with the price. It's like Tesla. Beyond Meat in a tug of war against like regular beef.
Mm-hmm.
You hook them up to each other?
Just like the Tesla truck would crush them?
Yes.
Hold them.
So I can't tell whether your newfound love for Tesla's price is sardonic or honest.
No, it's wife.
Oh, it's wife.
It's wife
Lisa.
And kids.
It's a Lisa.
Wife and kids
it's a
have Lisa worn me call. Down. You know, we were in the Model X this weekend, and she just said, okay, enough with the balance sheet. I was with someone who's a former CFO, a great CFO, and he goes, look, okay, so the balance sheet's problematic, but the experience. Balance sheet's being trumped by the experience. My daughter in Spain this morning texted me and said, Dad, you got religion here. It's right. So I'm done.
You're tired of fighting.
They
wore you down.
Yeah, they did. They did. And now I'm like, I'm waiting for Elon. Because, you know, Elon, the day he stopped tweeting and started focusing in the 10-month build in China, this new pickup that I didn't like and 200,000 people signed up. And people, by the way, said the bears are saying, hey, it's refundable. I got my Model 3 money back from my first daughter. It was the first one who said, first daughter wanted Tesla. she gave up after 6 months, couldn't get a Tesla.
Well, I got to tell you, three stories in cars today. One is Audi's laying off 10,000 people.
How do you like that?
Fitch says auto sales by units are going to decline more this year than they did in 08.
Wow.
That's a global number.
Wow.
And then this FT piece on subprime auto loans again. These low-rated slices, Jim, are 4 to 6 times oversubscribed.
Cars got expensive and the loans, and you know, they got ahead of themselves in terms of what people put down. But the consumer, Jamie Dimon would tell you, do not worry about the consumer. I'm with Jamie Dimon on that. The Tesla thing is rather incredible because I think beauty's in the eye of the beholder. I bought a Ford Super Duty and loved it. This is obviously not a Super Duty. But, by the way, it was gasoline. And you need diesel is what everybody told me. But this Tesla, I cannot believe, by switching and saying I like the stock because I like the car, it's like suddenly I'm man of the year. I mean, I'm rivaling that woman, Gretchen. You know, the one who came in front of Congress?
Yes.
And the tree, which is also possible man of the year. The tree. Because it reverses global warming.
Trees are very important. Plant a tree.
David, a tree is a tree is a tree.
Yes. Well, plant one.
I'm going to plant.
You'll feel better.
I'm planting many.
Good.
If we planted a couple trillion trees, according to Mark Benioff, we could reverse global warming entirely. He's Mark Benioff being the co-founder and co-CEO of Salesforce. David.
A couple trillion trees would be helpful.
Mayor Bloomberg planted a lot of trees here.
Over a million trees in New York City.
So he kind of reversed global warming.
Unfortunately, any number of them have already perished. But
well, you had to just be such a downer.
You
could bring anyone down.
It's not easy being a street tree in New York City.
Well, that's David, trees
grow in Brooklyn.
David, trees grow in Brooklyn.
People throwing litter in your little area.
Well, they have those ginkgos. They stink, but they're indestructible.
They are.
They will, in the event of nuclear war, just hide under a ginkgo.
They'll last for a long time.
They stink.
They reproduce.
You get one. You get one on your shoe. Something.
Yeah.
It's worse than dog. You know.
Yeah, it doesn't smell good. I know you got a lot of trees in Brooklyn.
Many trees grow in Brooklyn, which is
a tree does grow in Brooklyn.
Dana Durbin was in
this. True.
That was a good novel.
Very nice.
Great picture too. Yeah, the movie version is great. Amazing.
It's a little throwback.
Jim, Disney, reports say 1 million signups a day for Disney+. Frozen is the biggest November ever for an animated movie. And the biggest ever for Disney Animation ex-Pixar, Frozen 2.
The only negative thing for Bob Iger, Green Bay looked terrible this weekend. He's a huge Packer fan. When that's the only thing that's going bad in your life, how about that?
I don't know about you guys. Verizon Wireless, Unlimited. We signed up.
You signed up?
Yeah, checked it out last night, actually.
Did you? You signed up. You're one of the million.
I did it. I actually did. Very easy to navigate.
That's the first thing you bought this year.
Boom. Worked.
So he likes TJ Maxx, and he likes the Disney.
Yes, right. I think that's right.
And Dom Chu, turns out
the consumer's back, Jim.
Yes, Dom Chu, at 6 a.m., he bought
Disney Plus. I'm not, it's free for the first year.
Oh, well, that's okay.
Yeah. It's a little late in my house. I have to say, watching all of those titles, of which I own every single DVD somewhere in a closet.
Which you bought from Disney before.
Yes. Dom had the, I watched the show at 5. I watched the 4, I watched the 3. That's how bad my life is. Or good, depending upon how much I like the programming. But Dom was I think he was the actual first person to sign up. And he got the discount because he already owned, he already got Disney Plus. ESPN. I get ESPN Plus because I'm a king of fantasy.
There are still questions that churn. How many of those Verizon Wireless customers will churn off after year one if and when they actually have to pay for the service? Unclear, but at least it's a question at this point. And we're talking global scale is what they need here. Obviously, 2024, so it's still a number of years away until they really want to. And how much they're really spending. Some people dispute the way that they are. Not just they. It's not just the incremental spend. It's giving up certain programming that you're getting paid enormous amounts for to bring it back to the service. So Sky, for example, is paying you hundreds of millions of pounds a year to distribute Disney product overseas. That comes back. Are they accounting for that as well? So the lost revenue, plus the cost, plus marketing. It's still going to be interesting to watch.
And how about AT&T?
Not that it hasn't started out amazingly. It has.
How about the AT&T piece? That's still the red. Resonant, you've got Elliot on the one hand, incredibly rigorous people, right?
Yes.
And then you have Moffitt Nathanson the other, equally rigorous.
Yes.
Where do you come out, David?
It's going to be very interesting to watch and report on. I'm not going to take a side.
Way to just plant your flag David.
Things, man. You know,
the jury's still out?
It's just not worth it.
Okay.
Okay? The rest of the day, one way or the other, will be spent taking rate phone calls. I don't really need to do that. So let's just say
I take a rate
calls
all the time.
This is a very fat. I know you do.
and that's the way you like to live your life. I choose not to.
I do like it. I'm like AT&T, a living talk
there
radio.
There are certainly a lot of questions in terms of the ability for them to deliver in the wireless business the kind of growth that they need to put up that 1% revenue growth number. I know it doesn't seem like much, given the views at least others have of their ability to gain traction with the direct-to-consumer offering, with Warner, with the continued sub-losses of DirecTV.
How about wireline sub-loss?
However, DirecTV sub-losses have peaked, that things are going to get a bit better there, that they're going to keep the higher-margin customers they already have. They're still doing $4 billion in free cash flows from Direct, and that they are going to be successful with HBO Max.
But Moffitt Nathanson crushed it. It was at 39, it was about to break out.
It was. They crushed him.
They crushed it.
They did.
They crushed it. They beat it like the Ravens did in the Rams last night, which is really extraordinary. Did you see the numbers for the football game?
I did. The Patriots-Cowboys highest-rated game since 96.
Well, what does this say? I mean, you got to own TV.
It was a boring game, too.
I didn't find it boring. I thought it was a tremendous victory.
He's not rooting for the Cowboys.
I miss something? I was like...
David, the Jets are back. They won 3. The defense is great.
Yeah, it's amazing.
They could beat the Eagles.
Yes, they could. But
you think Jets could beat the Eagles?
Yes, definitely.
They already lost to them, didn't they?
Well, no, I'm saying they're better.
Oh, now?
Yeah. I'm just looking at them. I have to tell you that a lot of teams could beat the Eagles right now.
Speaking of things that defy logic, as we take a look, you can always watch football highlights. I can just watch them over and over again. I see your Twitter feed's basically just filled with football highlights.
Football highlights, yes, because I do my bull market fantasy, and I'm trying to get people are really, in the last rounds now. This is the fight to be able to be in the playoffs.
Yeah, couple of weeks, yeah.
Is your son going to be in the playoffs?
It's unclear.
Really?
Yeah.
What does he need?
A couple of his leagues.
You should watch my show.
He's made some bad choices of late, from what I understand.
I heard that he cut Lamar from Baltimore.
No, I don't think he
did. I heard he cut Lamar.
That would have been.
Yeah, picked up... Baker Mayfield.
MVP, right? Lamar, MVP?
Oh, geez.
Absolutely.
It's got to be, right?
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
All right, speaking of things that defy logic, not that he does. Not sure what does. But you know what, guys? In their latest letter from Xerox to HP.
Oh, geez, yeah.
Yeah, another letter.
Yeah.
Another letter.
Okay.
Your refusal to engage in mutual due diligence with Xerox defies logic.
Defies logic.
So says Xerox. John Visentin, of course, the vice chairman and CEO of the company, in a letter to Chip Berg, who's the chair, and Enrique, of course, the CEO. They go on to say a lot of other things there as well. What are the most important parts we can share with you to take a look at the performance of both stocks? Well, they come back at them on this question of dissolving the Fuji film joint venture and whether they lost intellectual property. And that was at the end of yesterday's or Sunday's HP letter. They say, hey, we monetized our liquid interest in Fuji Xerox at over 20 times 19's expected aggregate cash flow, favorably restructured the terms, and we will continue to have supply, protect our high-value intellectual property, provide strategic flexibility. There's no hole in Xerox's portfolio as a result of those transactions, just significantly more cash to support growth.
I wonder if this is, time versus the quarter that's going to be reported this evening. Where you've got problems in printer, and believe me, Intel
we're gonna
is hurting them.
Those
Intel
numbers.
Is hurting them because Intel cannot produce the chips. David, this may be in prep for HP going down.
The most important thing here is what the Xerox side will tell you is that they're having extensive conversations with certain HP holders. They believe they're getting incoming calls. Not they believe. They incoming calls. They even reference it in the letter from these holders saying, "Hey, we don't understand why HP won't conduct diligence."
Yeah.
Excuse me, won't allow Xerox to conduct diligence, misspoke there. And so they're going to continue to push on that. If they get somewhere, great, and HP perhaps reverses their stance to allow and allow Xerox to have diligence. Otherwise, as I indicated earlier or yesterday, I think the expectation is we're going to be talking about this for months to come.
But it's getting, as you predicted, it is getting ugly.
It's gotten ugly.
It's ugly. It's just... The gloves are off there.
Gloves are off.
It's all about Fight Club.
A lot of letters.
All about Fight Club.
Back and forth. It's a fight. It's going to be a fight.
It's a fight.
And we like a fight. We sit there. We're like those people.
What is this? What is this Wii stuff, Kimasabi? I don't like a fight. These are nice companies. I wish you weren't. This HP, this Enrique Lores, you got to give him a chance. All I'm saying is give Enrique a chance.
The truth right now. You like a fight. Come on. No, you do. Of course you do.
All right, I do.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Enrique Lores has got his hands full because of Intel. I am telling you, Intel's disrupting the whole valley by not being able to make as many chips. It's an untold story. We don't talk about it enough. It's a fiasco. It's a fiasco.
Wait, what's a fiasco?
Well, they just put it in the 8K.
That letter they put out? Yeah. I mean, how about a letter that says, listen, we can't make the product because we don't know. We can't. We have problems.
This is 14.
Who does that?
Yeah.
Who does that? I mean, that's just like Hasbro. We can't make Monopoly. They have a long Monopoly game now. Name me a company that puts out a release saying we can't make the product. Who else?
Can't think of one offhand.
Other than Party City with the helium balloons.
Well, the helium's a problem.
Helium and 14 nanometer chips, that's the real
problem. Those are really both really high-grade products. We have to move on, David, but I've got to tell you, I've never seen a major American company screw up like Intel. And AMD is the beneficiary. Lisa Su. No two ways about it. By A, by M, by D. AMD.
Guys, we got a record at the Open. Obviously slid back just a touch here. Let's get to Seema Modi. Morning, Seema.
Good morning, Carl. Yeah, that's right. 24 record closes now for the S&P. We're about 10 minutes into trade. We're slightly lower for the Dow, NASDAQ, and S&P at the Open. Markets digesting the latest commentary from the Chinese. That statement from the Chinese Ministry of Commerce overnight that China and the U.S. reached consensus on properly resolving relevant issues, but still unclear as to whether a compromise will be reached before that December 15th timeline when those new tariffs are set to increase. We are watching shares of Alibaba very closely, gaining over 6% in Hong Kong trade after raising $11 billion in its secondary listing, easily the biggest offering this year. Remember, Uber raised about $8 billion back in May. And now we have to see what we'll get from Saudi Aramco in December. Take a look at shares of Alibaba. It's worth noting, outperforming other Chinese tech stocks this year, up about 14% versus the MSCI China ETF, up over 14%. Two stocks in notice this morning, Macquarie initiating Square at outperform. Analysts there say Venmo should boost its growth potential. That stock is up about 1%. And then Cowen & Co. raising its target on Chipotle, as you guys were just discussing, from 800 to 970, citing increased consumer demand for food transparency. And that stock has had a really nice run, bouncing off its February 2018 lows. You can see up over 140%. Finally, mixed bag for retail. Best Buy shares spiking on a strong beat across the board. Earnings, revenue, comps, all better than expected. And the company raising guidance. But Dollar Tree down 14% after earnings came in a nickel shy of expectations. The discount retailer also gave a weak forecast for the holiday season, expecting to take a hit from tariffs in the fourth quarter. Dollar Tree down about 16%. Tonight, we get earnings from Box. Back to you, Carl.
All right, Seema, thanks. Let's get to the bond pits as well. Rick Santelli at the CME in Chicago. Morning, Rick.
Good morning, Carl. You know, we have another auction today. Of course, we're on a different schedule. 2 year, of course, was yesterday instead of today, all because of the holiday. And do remember, the auction of twos, fives, and sevens, which will complete tomorrow, will settle on Monday. Lately, settlement dates have been of major interest. That issuance has to be paid for, and writing those checks may affect short-term liquidity, although this one doesn't happen to correlate with taxes due, as well as, of course, other issues like T-bills that also settle early in the week. Look at a 1 week of 10-year note yields. Here we sit at 173. If you open the chart up month to date, the lowest yield close of November is 171. If we were to close here, this would be the second lowest, as all maturities sort of drip down as we finish the month of November. China is about to do something quite historic. Look at a month to date chart of a Chinese 10-year, 320. Look at ours, 173. Which would you rather have? Well, of course, there's credit risk and currency risk. China's about to launch a $6 billion-plus dollar-denominated 10-year sovereign debt deal. It is the biggest ever on record, and, of course, we'll pay very close attention to that. There should be lots of demand. And finally, let's look at what's going on with the dollar index. And the dollar index is very fascinating here because as it sits at 99.37, it is now just 1 cent away from the high close of the year, which was, of course, at the end of September at 99.37. Carl, Jim, David, back to you.
All right, Rick, thanks so much. Meantime, comedian Sacha Baron Cohen going after social media giants again after ripping into them last week during a speech while accepting award from the Anti-Defamation League, now penning this op-ed in the Washington Post on the issue of hate speech and the spread of fake news. He writes, Facebook, Google, and Twitter are unthinkably rich, and they have the best engineers in the world. They could fix these problems if they wanted to, but it won't, because its entire business model relies on generating more engagement, and nothing generates more engagement than lies, fear, and outrage. He's becoming the point man on social media
criticism. I urge people to watch. I saw his previous speech, which was quite well thought out. I had the privilege of meeting him a few weeks ago on Spot, his HBO, the special, the Netflix special Spy is worth binging on. But he is a great intellect, and he's got a really tremendous rap, kind of like Mark Benioff's. Who introduced me to him.
Which you buy this argument more than Zuckerberg's connecting people, bringing people together.
They're both. I want to be a little bit like David. Take no stance. Don't agree with any, don't commit. Just kind of punt. Say fine. Fourth and nine.
I don't do that all the time. Just occasionally.
Well, I don't do it either.
And I need to because it's important to remain an impartial actual reporter.
But this
now, in this, however, I do have an opinion. I don't understand Zuckerberg's stance. When it comes to this free speech thing.
Do you understand Cohen, who's just...
Yes.
He's brilliant.
He's a very smart man.
She's smart. How about how articulate he was?
Underrated. Erudite fellow from an erudite family as well.
Two guys who Mark Benioff introduced me to are incredibly erudite, Sacha Baron Cohen and David Blaine. Bumped into David Blaine last week and made me disappear. No, just kidding. He doesn't like it when you... He likes to talk dogs, so do I. Because he knows my dog, Everest, is... NVIDIA, is sick.
Of yours? Is that why you see David Blaine on
the road? No, I bumped him on the street. He's my friend.
So he is your neighbor?
He's my friend.
He lives in your neighborhood.
No, he does. He's my friend.
Got it.
David, on the one hand, on the other. That's you.
Be thinking about NVIDIA, Jim. I'm sorry to hear that.
No, I'm very worried. He's got this really bad... kennel cough it's caused, but we can't find him. He's going to go. We have to do the endoscopy. He's furious doctors.
It's,
we got to
it's always
base
tough.
Hope.
Yeah.
He's 13.
Always tough.
And
when
he
we come back,
Wong knows how important this is.
A roller coaster ride for shares at Dollar Tree this year. Today, the stock taking a hit on this disappointing guidance. Tariffs do play a role. We'll talk to the CEO. Record highs, though, for the NASDAQ and the S&P, 31.35. Once again, a blow-up in retail. Dollar Tree leads the S&P lower this morning, along with HPE. We're going to talk to both CEOs later on this morning. Dow's up 24, S&P up 3. Jim, what's on Mad tonight?
All right, don't forget, we make it a trade deal. We got a Agnico Eagle, which is one of my absolute favorite gold stocks. You always should have some gold. And we've got, Zappos, which is owned by Amazon, but is on fire. And I think it's time to celebrate Amazon. Because, man, it's going to be an Amazon Xmas. They hate that term, Xmas.
Maybe the stock can catch up to the rest of FANG for the year.
Yes, it could. Now, don't forget, there's a very few days now. It's much shortened season, so you're going to see much more Amazon. You have David Abney on. Wow, what a great get.
Cyber Monday's coming up.
That changes my whole life, Cyber Monday. Yeah. No. I got to go buy a Tesla Monday just to make satisfied my wife and my kids.
Really,
and that's
to buy
it.
A Tesla on Monday?
I don't know. I have to do it just to support the stock at this point. I need a charging station.
In Brooklyn.
Yes. With that, I would have
charging
to buy four Teslas.
Rose in Brooklyn.
Now, there you go, David. See, he committed to something. He finally committed.
You've been listening to the opening bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.